are you today?
I'm well. Can you hear me okay? You
sound great.
Okay, good. Like I said, if I drop out, just call me on my phone.
Okay, good.
I don't think it will. It seems to be doing okay. I've been doing some test calls.
Well, that sounds super. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start out by defining who this Maitreya is?
Yeah, I think so. There's usually a couple things I say to your audience first about don't believe what I say and where my information comes from. Because people always ask that right away if I don't tell them right away.
Okay.
So I'd like to just say that, but we can just start with maybe you hear that there's a great event that's going to happen that a lot of humanity doesn't know about yet, and we can go from there.
What is this great event?
This great event is the world teacher Maitreya coming forward to all of humanity hooked up by satellite communication on radio and television to tell everybody that he is the teacher for the age of Aquarius for the next 2,000 years, and that he's got some suggestions to make about how we can turn this world around if we want to follow his suggestions and make life a lot better.
So he's going to be simultaneously broadcast around the world via television, via the internet, probably on the radio.
Mark, people even working in the fields will hear him because he's going to communicate telepathically. His lips won't move. You'll see his face on TV, but you're going to hear his words in your head, in your native language.
Okay. So the television stations, the internet service providers and whatnot won't know about this ahead of time. It'll just suddenly occur.
No, it'll be announced ahead of time.
So
that there's going to be a great worldwide press conference.
Okay, beforehand.
Yep.
What about, so none of the religions will oppose this?
Oh, sure they will.
Okay, so
you see, the conservatives of the religions will oppose it. The more progressives of the religions won't. So there'll be a group in each major world religion that will say Antichrist or don't listen to him or whatever. But then there will be a group in each major religion that will say, no, he's got some good suggestions. We should try it out.
So are some people going to ignore this message, or is there no way to ignore it?
Well, you can't really ignore it.
Okay.
Because you're going to hear his words in your head, in your own, whatever your native language is. It's going to be a worldwide miracle because that's telepathy worldwide. And then there are a couple other ways they'll know it's him, too. They'll feel the love of God in their heart like they've never felt it. He said, it will be as if I physically embrace you, each of you. And then he's going to give us a glimpse. We're going to see in our mind's eye where we've gone wrong, where humanity has lost its way. And then he's going to give us a glimpse of the glorious future that's ahead for us to inspire us to take action, to inspire us to start changing how we treat each other. That's what it's really about. It's about establishing right relationship between humanity, amongst humanity.
So is Maitreya going to make this communication? Is it going to be via some technology?
Well, it's going to be via satellite technology to connect all the television and radio and internet. Yeah.
So will he break into certain countries' satellites?
The media, my understanding is that I'm not sure about that, but that they're not, they can't, the masters can't do anything to infringe our free will. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to like break in. He's going to need permission to do this. And my understanding is that all the stations, major networks and so on, at least the major networks, will all say, absolutely, go for it. We've heard this is coming. Let's do it.
So if he cannot violate our free will, wouldn't forcing a kind of mental telepathy on people be a violation of free will?
No, because he's not going to force us to do anything except hear him.
What if some people don't want to hear him?
Well,
Too bad.
You know, my understanding is that telepathy is a free will thing, and that if you don't want anybody to communicate with you telepathically, you can probably tune them out.
Ah, okay. Now,
it's just that I don't think many people will, because they'll be curious.
When he broadcasts via these satellites, will he be doing it using some technology or via some kind of mental power?
Both.
Okay. Does this Maitreya, does he have a physical body?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's appeared to people. His probably his most well-known appearance was outside of Nairobi, Kenya. There's a healer woman, a Christian healing woman. She just happens to be Christian. Maitreya's not Christian. He's not any religion. And she was told she was going to have a visitor that day. And about 6,000 to 8,000 people come to her every weekend because she preaches and then she heals. She's a famous, famous healer. And her name is Mary Akatsa, Sister Mary Akatsa. She's Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so while she was speaking to these people sitting on hillsides and all around her on the grass and everywhere, all of a sudden he appeared beside her. He's 6'3". He has dark hair, dark eyes, and he was wearing a white robe, and he was dressed like they expect Christ to be dressed when Christ returns. They all immediately went, Jesu Christus, Jesu Christus, and they bowed down. They recognized him. They thought he was Jesus. And he spoke to them for about 17 minutes or so. Well, the editor of the Kenyan Times, which is a huge newspaper there, was at this event and took pictures. And those pictures were published in the Kenyan Times on the front page the next day, and the headline said, "Did Jesus appear in Nairobi?" And so there were all these pictures. Well, this ended up on CNN, all the major networks. But, you know, like anything, once it's gone, it's gone. So it appeared on all the major networks for 1 or 2 days, and then it was just gone.
And what year did this occur?
Now, that's a good question. I want to say 2003.
Okay. Now, have you...
I'm wrong about that. Sorry.
Have you personally met the Maitreya?
It's not the Maitreya. Maitreya is his name. Like, my name is Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Your name is Mark. His name is Maitreya.
Oh, okay.
It's like saying Oprah. You know, nobody needs to say a last name. So that's his name. Yeah. Well... That takes a short story to answer. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay.
But I haven't seen him in the body that he's going to be using for the next 2,000 years, because here's what he's been doing. He and Jesus work very, very closely together. And the two of them have been, more than any of the other masters, have been appearing to people for the last 20, 30 years as ordinary folks. Sometimes they appear as an African-American, Asian-American, white person, a man, a woman, older, younger. Jesus appeared to me as a little 10-year-old girl, for example. And when people have an experience of somebody that they think was a master, what they do is they would write in to the editor of Share International magazine, Benjamin Krem. And Benjamin Krem is in contact with, or was, he passed away now, but he was in contact with one of the masters, one of the 63 masters of wisdom, or ascended masters, or whatever. There's a lot of names for these great beings that have looked after humanity over the eons. And he was in contact with one of them. And so he would ask his master, was this experience of a master? And if so, which master? And then his master would respond. And if it was truly a master experience, he would publish that letter in Share International magazine. There was always a section for letters in every issue, monthly issue. And then he would say at the end of the letter, he would say that his master has confirmed that was an experience of, and then he would give the master, usually either Maitreya or Jesus. They both have been appearing. So I've seen Maitreya a few times, and I've seen Jesus a few times, as confirmed by Benjamin Krem's master. I think most people that hear me when I give talks and around the West Coast here, And when I'm on the radio, which I've been doing for over 3 years now, 4 years, I think most people have seen one of the masters. They just didn't know it.
So you're saying that Jesus appeared to you as a 10-year-old girl?
Yes. Yes, it's really interesting. I was doing a Share International booth where we try to give out information so that this can be known to the world. That was our task. Benjamin Krem asked for volunteers who would be willing to tell the world that this great teacher, Maitreya, along with Jesus and some of the other masters, is coming forward to help humanity with the next great step forward. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came, and about every 2,000 years we get another great teacher. And at this time it was going to be the world teacher, Maitreya, himself, and that we would give out that information, because the more people anticipate his coming, the sooner he can come forward. Because, again, free will. If we want him forward, he'll come forward sooner. So that's what we've been doing, while the volunteers have had a lot of experiences with the masters, I think to encourage us to keep up the work and not give up. Because we expected that he would come forward in the late 80s or 90s. And it's been, he's had to put it off because things haven't been right. There have been so many problems with the world that he hasn't had a window of opportunity where he could really get everybody's attention. And so that's what he's been waiting for. And it took longer than even he said that he thought it would.
So why does he need this window?
He wants to come forward when there's the greatest possible chance that the most people on the planet will be receptive to his message. So that includes things like cosmic energies, as well as world events and the state of mind of humanity, civilized humanity, and the poorer undeveloped countries as well. So he can measure all these. We can't. I have no clue, you know, what energies are bombarding our planet from any moment, one moment to the next moment. He does. So he is, and of course there are forces that are fighting this. The dark forces do not want this to happen because they know that once it does, their time is over. Their end is in sight. And so they're fighting it like crazy. And we don't talk much about the dark forces because when you talk about them and give them your attention, you actually give them energy, and we don't want to do that. But there are definitely huge forces fighting this. So he's trying to find a window where he will have the greatest chance of the greatest number of people responding to him in a positive way without infringing our free will.
So to get back, I'm going to get back to this appearance of Jesus as a small girl.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Was it Benjamin Krem that let you know that was Jesus?
Yeah. From his master. Yeah. Okay. She came up to the, booth. And Maitreya put his handprint on a woman's mirror in her bathroom in Spain. And she wiped it off. She thought it was her son's handprint. Well, it came back. So she knew something special was going on. Her son took a picture of the handprint and sent it to Benjamin Krem. And he asked his master. And his master said, "That's the handprint of Maitreya. And that's the closest he can come to you until he comes forward." And so they made a photo and published it in Share magazine of his handprint. It's one hand. It's his right hand. And it's on the mirror as if it was put on from behind the mirror. It's like a 3D photograph. And Maitreya said, "If you look at that, look at my hand for a few seconds, you will get my attention. And you can ask me for anything you want. And I will give it to you as long as it's within karmic law." Now, I'm sure he didn't mean a red Chevy or anything like that, but he probably meant there's somebody you want to help or you need help yourself and you ask me, if it's within karmic law, I will grant it to you. I've used it many, many times and it's never not worked. And sometimes very, very quickly. I had this card with the photograph on it in my hand and I showed it to the little girl. I just hadn't even told her what it was yet. She came up with her, looked like her grandmother. And I was talking to her. She was telling me that her first catechism was coming up. And I said, oh, I took my first catechism when I was young like you. I said, it's wonderful. Congratulations. And then she looked at the card out of nowhere. She said, now Maitreya is the Christ. We'll talk about that. Jesus was during the 3 years he taught. But Maitreya is the permanent Christ for planet Earth. She looked at the card and she said, that's the hand of the Christ. And I mean, I almost fainted. I said, yes, it is. How did you know? I said, you're exactly right. That's the handprint of the Christ. And she just looked at me and smiled. Well, the grandmother never said a word during all of this. Finally, she and her grandmother walked away. And I couldn't get that experience out of my mind. I thought, how could she know? So I finally wrote to Benjamin Cram. I sent an email to Share International Magazine with a letter about the experience, and he published it, and he said that the little girl was the Master Jesus, and the grandmother was a disciple of the Master Jesus that had appeared at that event.
So if that's the case, did the little girl then, after this interaction with you, did she just disappear, or did she?
I suspect she did, because that's what they usually do, Mark.
Okay.
They'll usually just do, they'll take a few steps and then they just disappear. I saw, I saw a young girl, college student. I was on a college campus in L.A., Cal State L.A., and I had just gotten out of a class and I was on my way to meditation. And I was walking across the campus, and two boys were coming towards me. And I looked up just at the last second, and right behind them was this young gal, looked to be about 20, 21, shoulder-length, dark hair, just an average-looking gal, but she smiled at me, kind of a Mona Lisa smile. Oh, my heart just leapt for joy. I mean, I just thought, man, I wish I could make people that happy by smiling at them. And I walked, you know, I don't know, 20 feet, and I turned around to look, and she was completely gone. And so, I mean, I almost floated. I felt like my feet weren't even touching the ground when I got to my car. I was so happy. And I had no reason to be that happy all of a sudden. So I finally wrote to Benjamin Krem. He said the young girl was Maitreya. So they do that. They disappear. That's what he did in Kenya. A doctor later told the story. He said, I asked Maitreya, I asked this man if he wanted a ride. And he said, sure. So he got in my car and he said, we went down the road a couple miles and he said, you can let me out here. And the doctor said, but there's nothing here. And he said, that's okay. This is fine. Doctor said, okay. He said, the guy got out of the car, took about five steps and disappeared into thin air. Just like he had appeared. Beside Mary Akatsa. So yes, they do that. They will appear and they will disappear. Now they don't usually disappear in front of your eyes like that. It's like when you look back, they're not there anymore, and there's nowhere they could have gone, you know? Yeah, it's a very common experience. There are three ways that people usually know they've seen a master. One of them is what I already said. All of a sudden, they're very happy. They're just filled with joy. They feel very, very loved, and just for no reason. That's one way you know you've seen a master. Another way you know you've seen a master is something in the eyes will be real special. I was driving home from meditation one night and I stopped at a red light and it was sunset. And I looked over at this bus bench on the corner there to my left out the window of the car. And there was this homeless man with this filthy trench coat and a gray kind of beard down halfway down his chest. And he was slouched way down, but he was looking up at me. And my first thought was, that guy is looking right through me. And then the light turned green and I drove on. Well, I couldn't get him out of your mind. That's another way. That's the third way you know it's a master. It's a very ordinary occurrence, but you can't get it out of your mind. It keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. I finally wrote to Benjamin Cram. He said the man on the park bench, on the bus bench, was the Master Jesus. But it'll be just little experiences like that where there's something special in the eyes, or it's an ordinary experience that you can't get out of your mind, or you feel really happy. Most people, when I tell that story at talks, realize they have seen a master. They just didn't know it until they look back through their life. I mean, this could have happened 40 years ago, you know. So, but it's been happening a lot in the last 20 years. They're kind of warming humanity up for them, getting us ready for them. It's pretty cool.
So what do you suspect will happen when this great contact occurs. I mean, are we going to see what's going to happen to governments and things like that?
Yeah. Well, Maitreya has said that the first thing that will happen is that most people will walk on tiptoe because when it's over, because they don't want to disrupt the air, the beautiful feeling they're having. And then church bells will ring and the temples will ring their bells. And there will be a lot of happiness around the world from people who are receptive to what he has to say. On the other hand, there will be people who will be saying, no, no, don't listen. It's the Antichrist, you know, and so on. And then if we follow his suggestions and the suggestions of some of the other masters who will come forward after he comes forward, things will happen. For example, this is the age of Aquarius. Aquarian energies support group work. Piscean energy, which is what we've been through the last 2,000 years, supports individuality. That's why there's so much separation right now. Like the Republicans and Democrats have never been farther apart. Well, that's because this is the end of the age of Pisces, where individuality has caused tremendous separation. And we're seeing it in everyday life all over the place. Whereas Aquarian energy is cooperation and synthesis in groups, working in groups. So, for example, Benjamin Krem's master told him that even the president of the United States will no longer be one person. It will be a panel of wise people that will make up the presidency of the United States. So a lot of group, you're going to see a lot of work done in groups. That's why people marching in the streets were able to save healthcare. Is because Aquarian energy supports people working in groups and marching in the streets. Maitreya has been photographed in marches all around the world, marching in the streets in London, in Paris, Rome, America, New York, all over the place, trying to tell us, let us know that this is what we should be doing. This is group expression will save the world. And that this is the time. What will happen, Mark, is that everyday folks will run the world. Because our representatives, who haven't been representing us very well, will know that if they don't represent us properly, we're going to kick them out. And so what's going to happen is the everyday man is going to run the world. Things are going to change. The U.S. democracy will start to have a little more socialism in it. For example, we've got a lot now. We've got Social Security, that's socialism. We've got the library program. That's government in action. That's socialism. We've got the Medicare. That's socialism. We've got the VA. That's social. We've got a lot of it now, but there will be more. People need to have a right to have a home, have food, have health care, and have an education, all free of charge. And that's in the future for us, and not the very distant future. There are some countries in Europe where that's the case right now. I have a friend who went to college over in Denmark, and she was given an apartment while she was a student. She was given a used car to get around while she was a student. She was given food stamps, and she had free medical care the whole time, and school was free the whole time she went to college there. And that's the way the masters think that our government has a responsibility to create a safety net for everybody. Now, if you still want to get rich, you can go out and make your own money and buy your own car and do all that stuff. But and you know, buy better clothes and whatever you want. But the safety net is something that will start to happen around the world, in the world, in the governments of the countries. There won't be any one world government, none of that. Every country has its own personality, and is critical piece to making the world work. So we'll see things like that. Like I said, the government will be representing people. People will have health care. People will have education available to them, whether they're rich or poor. But what's going to happen is the bottom is going to come up. The poor are going to be lifted up so that they have what they need. They don't have excess. People won't have excess, but they'll have what they need. Now, this will happen over a period of time, but I'm told that within 2 years of Maitreya coming forward, there will be no more starvation on this planet. We already have a 14% per capita surplus of food. It's just not getting distributed. And there are plans to distribute it that have already been made, but they haven't been introduced yet because we're not ready to accept those plans. But after Maitreya comes forward, people will say, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And what will happen is the excess production of every country will be documented by a United Nations agency, and then the food, the excess, will be distributed to those who have a shortage of that particular product, whatever it is. And so sharing, nations sharing their excesses with other nations who need it, will take place. And what will happen is that people will not be needy anymore. And when that happens, it establishes, that's justice. That's true justice. When everybody has their needs met. Then when there's justice, there's trust. People start to trust each other. And when they trust each other, there's no more terrorism. There's no more war. Because nobody's mad at anybody. Everybody's got at least what they need. They've got a home. They've got health care. They got food. And so people are just happier. That's what we have to look forward. And then it goes way beyond that. It goes to transportation that is motionless and soundless and fast as you can imagine. We're going to have free energy. A combination of the sun and the Earth's magnetic fields will be used to create what they call the technology of light. And everyone on the planet will have the energy they need, free of charge and non-polluting, forever. So there's some great things ahead, and some of it's going to happen fast and some of it'll take a while.
Since Benjamin Krim died, who took over your organization?
Nobody. And he didn't really, he wanted to make sure he didn't run the organization, and he never really did. He was the editor of Share International magazine, and he was our principal spokesperson. But the organization is made up of about 4,000 people worldwide who just do the kind of stuff I'm doing and that others are doing, where we, you know, just try to get the word out. Most of our books, most of Benjamin Krim's books and so on, are sold basically at cost so that people can afford them. And we try to do things as inexpensively as possible. So we don't really, we know what to do. He's been showing us for 40 years what we need to do. And he's been telling us and giving us suggestions, and from his master as well. And so we know what to do. We've been doing it, for some of us, for 40 years. I haven't. I've been doing it for 27 years. And so we're just keeping on doing what we've been doing.
So your organization doesn't have a leader right now?
No. No, we don't. The people that have been publishing the magazine still publish it. And the company that prints it still prints it. And, you know, we still try to raise money to so that we can afford the magazine. It has no advertising because we don't want, we want to be able to print any ideas we want. We don't want to be obligated to anybody. So there's no advertising. So the magazine is about wonderful things that are happening around the world, the changes that are happening that are going in the right direction, and about the latest progress of Maitreya and the Masters. It's a wonderful magazine. And about the miracles that have been happening, because people take pictures of things that have been happening and send them in.
So when do you expect Maitreya to appear?
Within the next 2 years, probably within the next 12 months.
Oh, okay.
Very soon.
Okay.
There was a time when I was saying within 10 years, and then it went down to within 5 years, and now I'm down to within one or two.
Now, is this just your own feeling you're going by?
Yes. Although through Benjamin Krim, his master and Maitreya have both been saying the time is very short. The time is near. The time is upon us. Nobody knows the day or the hour, of course, but I'm told Maitreya doesn't even know, but I suspect now he knows. I suspect he knows, and he's got a target date, and we'll be able to adjust, you know, within that frame and come forward, I think, within the next year. But it might be 2 years. I don't think so. I think it'll be within a year. We're at that point now.
So when the Maitreya gets here, how long will it be before war goes away?
Well, war will go away. I'm glad you brought that up, Mark. I don't know. But my understanding is that the United Nations, representing all the countries, major countries of the world, will be the peacekeeping force for the world. The United States won't be going in on our own anymore, or Britain or France or anybody, Russia or anybody else, that the United Nations will be the peacekeeping force representing all the major countries of the world. And when some dictator pops his head up somewhere, boom, they're going to go in and put him down. See, the masters are not pacifists. They're realists. And they understand that sometimes people have to die to get peace, like these dictators. If that's what it takes, that's a last resort. But if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. And, you know, they'll be back. The rebirth or reincarnation is one of God's great laws, and they'll be back. But for right now, they got to go. And so the United Nations will be the entity that enforces the rule of peace around the world. And so eventually these, like I said, the people aren't going to support these little dictators because they have their needs met already. So I don't know how many years it'll take. But I don't think it'll be a real long time. I mean, I think it'll be within the lifetime of most of our listeners.
So you expect Maitreya to appear during the Trump administration?
Yes. I'm real curious how he's going to respond. It's either going to completely turn him around or he's going to quit. One or the other. That's my opinion.
Well, do you think a lot of people in Washington, D.C. would quit? Would there be a need for them?
Would there be a need for people in Washington, D.C.?
Sure, the government.
Yes, there will. This government was not set up by accident. My understanding is that the masters were behind Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and those guys that set up this government, that was a spiritual... That was spiritual progress on planet Earth when they set up this country, because it was set up like no other country on the planet. And with our open borders, which were supposed to be open, welcoming people in, the United States is the great experiment for the masters to see if people of all races and all backgrounds can come together in one place and live in peace and be supportive of each other. That's the great experiment that the United States is, that no other country is on this planet. And so this government was set up specifically for that purpose, to show the blending of the world all in one country. Isn't that magnificent? The masters even said that people will be able to recognize an American whenever they're in there. The Americans will start to look alike. In other words, there won't be blacks and Asians and whites. There will be an American. It'll be a blend of everything. And people will be able, they said, that people will be able to recognize an American just by looking at them. They'll know that's an American because they're a blend of all of humanity. Isn't that cool? I just love it.
Well, I guess there's two ways you could look at that. I mean, like if I, for example, take dogs, I really like dogs and I really like cats. And
yes.
I like the fact that there are different kinds of dogs.
Yes.
Because it's more variety. I'd hate to see all of them blend together.
Well, everybody will have their own personality. And of course, we won't look just like each other. I mean, we won't be mirror images, but we'll have a look. Just like most African Americans have a look. Most Asians have a look. And Americans will have a look. That's all. There'll still be all the different nationalities of the world, you know, traveling all over the place to each other. There won't be a need for passports anymore. That'll just disappear. Travel will be free and open to any country in the world. And so there'll still be, oh no, that will never change, Mark. My understanding is that it's the whole goal is synthesis with diversity.
Hmm.
That diversity is a key to humanity.
Will so the U.S. military will still exist for a while?
It will be a peacekeeping force.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't be an aggressive force. It'll be a peacekeeping force. It'll be much, much smaller. And its main purpose will be to supply the United Nations, to help supply the United Nations along with other countries of a small military capable of nuclear weapons will disappear off the face of the planet.
That was my next.
The masters will help us get rid of the nuclear energy and radiation in ways that will save the ocean and save the land and save the air.
So Fukushima would be a high priority, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, see, the masters are master scientists. They have graduated from planet Earth to become permanent spirits. They no longer need to take bodies on the planet to learn the lessons that planet Earth has to teach us, like the rest of us are doing. You know, we're still learning the lessons. Well, they have learned them all, including the law of gravity and all the others, all the science. They know the science of what makes our planet work, what makes the cosmos work. They understand that, and they are not subject to the laws of cosmos. There's one law they're subject to, two laws they're subject to, and that's karma and, no, that's it. The law of love, of course. But yeah, that's it. So they can do things. They know the science that we don't know yet. There's a lot of scientific discoveries we have yet to make on this planet. Our neighbors, like the people live on Venus and the people that live on Mars, are way ahead of us scientifically.
Will Russia, China, and NATO still have their military?
Well, I think every country will have a small military just to put down militants that may try to rise up until the world becomes a peaceful world again. I think at some point there won't be a military anymore, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll take a while, Mark.
Will people still speak different languages in different countries?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
English will be the worldwide accepted language.
Mm-hmm.
Every country now almost knows English.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm amazed when they go to the Olympics. And they interview these athletes, and they're all speaking perfect English, no matter what country they're from. So that'll be the universal language, largely because Britain started this whole thing, the discovery of the world, with the English language. And it's just something that's caught on over time. But yes, everybody will have their own language. By the way, I didn't tell your listeners, please don't believe anything I'm saying, because that would be blind belief. And I can't recommend blind belief to anybody. But just try to keep an open mind and just run what I have to say, this information that I'm trying to give out here, through your life experience and through your common sense, and see if any of it, 10, 20, 30% of it makes sense for you and might be useful to you to give you a little hope for the future. That's really my purpose here, Mark, in our talking together, is to let people know about the World Teacher and that the future is really, really bright, much brighter than we could imagine. One of God's great laws is the law of equilibrium, and it says that however bad it's been, that's how good it's going to get. So you can imagine we're in for a pretty good time.
Will terrorism and crime take a while to go away? Or will they immediately be gone?
No, it'll take a while.
Okay.
It'll take a while. It'll take a while for justice. See, the United States, for example, is a country with a lot of freedom, but not a lot of justice. We need both freedom and justice. Just try going to court without any money and see how well you do. You know, I mean, there's just not a lot of justice. There are people without health care. There are people without homes. That's not justice. We have a lot of freedom, but not a lot of justice. Where, on the other hand, some of the European countries have a lot of justice, but not as much freedom. And the goal is to marry the two. That was symbolically done as an example for the world with the reunification of East and West Germany. and East and West Berlin. When they reunited the socialist country with the democratic country, when they reunited, that was a symbol for the way all the countries will eventually be. So we will have more justice in this country than we have right now. That needs to change. But we'll have more democratic representation than we have right now, because a lot of our representatives in the government are very self-serving and don't care what you and I think or want. And that's got to go. If in a democracy, they need to represent us, and that will change. But yeah, we'll always have a government, and we'll have military for a while, and there'll be some crime for a while. But as justice takes over, that will start, it will disappear more and more and more, and kind of just on its own. You know, something else that's going to disappear that we haven't talked about before, Mark, is drug addiction and alcoholism. People will be able to enjoy a glass of wine or a glass of sherry or a bourbon before dinner, you know, and not worry about becoming alcoholics. And people will not seek drugs that hurt themselves just to escape from their miserable existence on this planet, because they won't have a need to escape. As the need to escape and their needs are met in life, their basic needs are met, people will have less and less need to escape in their mind through drugs. And so drug addiction will start to disappear, and eventually will disappear, along with alcoholism.
Will the people that are currently incarcerated be freed?
That whole system will change. There will probably still be some incarceration. There certainly won't be any death penalty anywhere. But there will be incarceration, but incarceration will be rehab. It will be more of an enforced rehab, where people will actually be get psych. Most of these people need psychiatric care. They need therapy of one sort or another, for one thing. Another thing, that a lot of them need health care that they're not getting. So a lot of these folks in the institutions will become rehabilitated. The institutions are going to change dramatically, and the way they're treated when they're incarcerated will change dramatically, and eventually the prisons won't be needed anymore, because crime will disappear. You know, there was a time on this planet when there was no word for steal or stolen. That's what the masters have told Benjamin Graham. That there was a time on this planet when there was no crime. There was no crime, and they didn't have a word for it. Well, we got it now, don't we? So that'll take a while, yes. But eventually there won't be any prisons anymore, because people will have a problem, and they'll go get help for their problem.
Will we still have intense hurricanes and fires and tornadoes?
No. This is all part of the biblical prophecy that's happening. I grew up a Christian, so I'm relatively familiar with parts of the Bible, and used to teach adult Bible study and stuff like that. And then I started studying the religions of all the other religions of the world, and a lot of them had parts that made sense to me too. So then I got into studying the ageless wisdom, which is which was introduced to me through Benjamin Graham. He's the latest revealer of the ageless wisdom, his books. And that's a philosophy, not a religion. I forgot your question. I apologize.
I was asking about the intense hurricanes and fires and tornadoes.
That's karmic, most of it. When we pollute the planet reacts. It upsets. See, according to the ageless wisdom, there are little teeny angels, and there are huge, huge archangels, and everything in between. And these angels are responsible for maintaining, for example, the mineral kingdom and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. But let's talk and the weather. These little angels, these little divas, that divic kingdom, that's the angelic kingdom, they're responsible for maintaining the balance of our world. And when they're polluted, it throws that energy just turns sour and throws them all off kilter. And then we get bad weather, and then we get earthquakes. Now, a lot of the earthquakes are because of fracking, like Oklahoma. Oklahoma never used to have earthquakes. Now they have more than many states do, just because of all the fracking. But yeah, this weather is a total fulfillment of the biblical prophecy for when the world teacher is going to come back to the world, the Christ is going to come back to the world, not for the end of the world. The end of the world is millions of years away, my information. Why would he come and wave his hands over a desolate world? That makes no sense. He's coming to help us get it back on track. And so the weather will settle down. But right now, it's crazy. And that's largely karmic because of what we've been doing with nuclear waste. And that's the biggest one. The biggest polluter is nuclear waste. There's nuclear radiation spewing out of all of the reactors in the world. Our instruments are just crude to measure it. And the nuclear radiation that's escaping out of these, this is Benjamin Kram and his masters. We will discover this soon scientifically as our science advances. But right now, we're not aware of it. And it is causing two major problems in the world. Earlier onset of Alzheimer's is occurring, and it's mainly because of nuclear pollution, and a much higher percentage of children are born autistic or somewhere on that scale of autism. Largely, it used to be like one in every 800, now it's one in 80 are born autistic, and that's largely because of the nuclear pollution. We just need to get rid of those plants, shut them down as soon as possible, and let the masters help us dispose of them.
So are we still going to have gigantic overcrowding in some cities? Like, for example, I think in China, in Beijing, there's something like 15 million people crammed into that city.
I don't know how they survive. I mean, every time you see a picture, the smog is so bad they can only see like two blocks ahead. Right. They're wearing masks now. Yeah, I mean, it's just terrible. Those poor people. No, that's not going to – that's a very interesting point that you brought up. Cities will get smaller. Cities will get smaller, and they'll have way more park space, a lot more parks.
Good.
And cities will get smaller, and there'll be more towns all around the countryside, but there'll be parks, there'll be green space all over in the cities. They'll become, all of the ghettos and all that stuff will be gone, and they'll be replaced with parks and with places where people can afford to live and where things will be maintained well. Cities will become smaller. It's very interesting that you asked that. That's one of the really beautiful things that's going to happen.
Right now, I think we have about 9,000 newborns per hour, and that's even when you subtract the number of deaths. Is that number going to go down or continue?
Way down.
Good.
There's a major reason why. It's the problem is starvation. Starvation and poverty. People that live in underdeveloped countries, especially, they have no government system to take care of them when they become old and can't work in the fields anymore and can't produce for their family, can't cook anymore, can't work in the fields anymore. They need some way to be taken care of. And the way they're taken care of is by their children. Their children will take care of them when they become elderly. But their kids are dying all the time from disease, largely due to malnutrition and pollution. So if they have six kids, two of them may live to become adults and take care of them when they're older. So they have to have, if they want to have like five kids that are adults and alive, they have to have 12 children or 10 children just to get the odds there. So people are purposely having more children so that they will have some left to take care of them when they become old and need help, because their government isn't providing it, the health care and the housing and so on for them. So once people get fed and babies aren't dying from these illnesses due to malnutrition and from pure starvation and from pollution, diseases caused by pollution, then they will start having less babies. They won't have to worry about it anymore, and they will start paying attention to things like birth control. And then when the leaders say, look, we're going to take care of you when you get older, don't worry about it, some of them won't have any kids. So no, the population, my understanding is that the planet is built to hold about 4 million people and feed them and take care of them well.
Do you mean 400 million?
I'm sorry, 4 billion.
4 billion, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
4 billion.
Okay.
And thank you for catching me on that.
Oh, it's okay.
4 billion people. So you can see the population needs to come way down because we're at, what, 7 now?
Yeah, at least. Maybe
yeah.
More, yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to come down, but that's going to happen when everybody gets fed and the pollution starts to get cleaned up and people have a place to live and have some kind of safety net for when they get older.
So right now I think about 4 million people are born on the street and die on the street in
Isn't
India.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. That's not going to happen anymore then, right?
Nope.
That's good news.
Most of the homeless, they've done studies, and it varies between 75 and 95% of the homeless are mentally ill.
Well, yeah.
They need therapy, and we're not offering it.
Right.
So they stay homeless. I mean, some people say, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get a job. That's what I did. But they can't hold a job.
Right.
Because they've got all these emotional issues that won't let them continue under somebody's employment. So, I mean, they're not getting the help they need. And when they do, that whole situation is going to change. That will be remedied quite quickly. Because it's so easy.
Let me ask you this. Will animals still be killed during hunting? Will there still be hunting sports where people go out and, for enjoyment, kill animals?
No. No, there will be hunting for necessity,
mm-hmm.
but not for sport.
Mm-hmm.
Not for sport. We're going to get better and better at taking care of the kingdom below us, the kingdoms below us, the mineral kingdom, which we've totally polluted, the plant kingdom, which we're killing off with pollution, and the animal kingdom, which we're killing off in many ways. Pollution, destroying their environment so they can't survive any longer, and by hunting them. And that is going to change, and we're going to start taking care. We are the keeper of the kingdoms below us, and we're doing a terrible job of it. So that is going to change. Now, actually, the karma right now, a lot of people think that we're just horrible, horrible people because of the way cows are treated or chickens are killed or what pigs are killed, whatever it is. And I agree. It's not done in a very, very good way, but my understanding is that historically the animal kingdom still owes a huge karmic debt to the human kingdom because the animal kingdom at one point in our history almost completely wiped out the human race. We were torn apart by wolves and tigers and eaten alive and I mean just nasty, nasty things, and the dinosaurs ate us like a snack. And this got really, really bad to where the spiritual kingdom was very concerned that humanity would survive on the planet and that the plan for planet Earth would be able to go forward. That's how badly we were treated by the animal kingdom. It was really, really horrible for millennia. It was that way. So as far as karma goes, the animals still owe us a karmic debt, even though we're not treating them well in a lot of ways. We still haven't caught up to the karma, so, and I don't think we ever will. I think we'll turn it around. But the animals are critical to humanity, and they will start to evolve as well. The animal kingdom, I don't know if you're interested in this, but if you're not, I'll stop. The animal kingdom doesn't have individual souls like human beings do. The animal kingdom has group souls. So there's one big soul for all horses. There's one big soul for elephants. There's one big soul for dogs. There's one big soul for cats. They all come out of that one soul. But as they evolve, now this is thousands of years away from now, animals will start to get individual souls like humans. And there are the first four animals, my understanding is, that will get individual souls are elephants, camels, dogs, and horses. Why? Because those are the four animals that over time have served humanity the most. Think about it, elephants. I mean, think of all the buildings, that the building that was done in Asia that couldn't have been done without elephants, or in Africa. Horses, how much horses have been used for transportation and everything else over the eons. Dogs, seeing eye dogs and life-saving dogs, and all these wonderful, wonderful dogs that have helped humanity in so many ways. And what a camels. Man couldn't live in the desert without camels. And so, at least couldn't for, you know, eons. And so those four have served humanity the most and continue to do so. And so they will be the first ones to have individual souls, and they will become telepathic, just like humanity. We're going to become more and more telepathic. Now, that doesn't mean you can read somebody's mind if they don't want you to. It has to be an agreement both ways. Free will still stands. But if you want your dog to sit, you'll just think, Spot, sit. You won't say it out loud. You'll just think it, and your dog will look at you and sit. And you'll just be able to communicate telepathically with our pets. Some of us do it a little bit now, but it's going to get much stronger that way. Isn't that, I just love stuff like that. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, Dick, thanks for coming on the show. Is there any closing remarks? Would you like to tell people about your website or any books or anything like that?
I would, Mark. Thank you. Okay. The website where you can get more information on miracles, on Maitreya, the world teacher, on Jesus coming forward with him, and so on, is www.share-international.org, not .com, .org, share-international.org. It's an old website. We're updating it, but it is loaded with audios, and there are videos on YouTube of Benjamin Krem answering questions and so on. And I just wanted to tell people real quickly how they'll recognize Maitreya when he comes forward. There are three ways. The first way is you'll hear his words in your head telepathically, even though his lips aren't moving on TV. The second way is you'll feel the love of God in your heart like you've never felt it before. A lot of people will be crying, and I'll probably be one of them. And the third way you'll know it's him is after he's done speaking and giving us a glimpse of this wonderful world that we can have if we follow his suggestions. After that, there will be press reports from around the world that while he was speaking, hundreds of thousands of people were miraculously healed. And in those three ways, you'll know that this is the world teacher, and then we can either follow his suggestions or not. He told Benjamin Krem, his master told Benjamin Krem, there are 1.8 billion people ready to respond to Maitreya, and that's way more than the critical mass he needed. He needed 1 billion critical mass who will respond when they see him. So it's a great time to be alive. We're going to see changes that nobody imagined right in our lifetime.
Well, Dick, thanks for coming on. Have a great evening, sir.
Thank you, Mark. You too. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.